Well, actually, it's a real honour, a real blessing for us as a church, as a body of believers, for Dieter and Anna to have even thought of mentioning that these guys could come over to us. So we honour you guys. You are a blessing to us. Yeah. And it's another honour as well for Cecil and his wife Lisa just to come over. Now, they've not come straight from the States. They've come via Northern Ireland, haven't you? Is that right, or are you going that way? Yeah. So we're on a tour of the UK. They're over in Dewsbury on Thursday and Friday. And I would even say, just because you're here, you need to be there as well, because he's bringing some teaching, and sometimes you need more than just a quick dose. You need to be in this, you need to be standing on the Word of God and listening to the Word of God and look him up online and listen to what he's saying, because it'd be good. So I'm just going to hand over the entire meeting. It's theirs. So whatever happens, I'm sat there. We're going to give it over to the Holy Spirit and to these guys just to lead us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here by your Spirit. Lord, and we pray that our ears will be opened. Lord, we'll be able to listen to your word, that we'll be able to listen to your Spirit as you speak. Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning that hearts will be changed. Lives will be, Lord, just set on fire for you. Lord, and that we may glorify you. Lord, I pray, Lord, a blessing. Lord, I know you're already blessing them, but a blessing, Lord, on Cecil and Lisa, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you will speak through them this morning, that your words will be spoken through them, so their words are your words this morning. Lord, let your Spirit reign supremely in this place this morning. Amen. Amen.
Hear me. How's that? Very good. Praise God. Well, it's good to be here today, and thank you for that warm and loving introduction. And we are from Colorado Springs, Colorado in the U.S., which is about the middle of the country, and there we've got some mountain ranges that we live right up against where we've got quite a bit of snow, and I hear you guys might get some. We'll see what happens. But it's wonderful to be here. I mean, this is a country, a nation that it's been something, I don't know, maybe as much as 25 years ago maybe, that an Irish prophet prophetically called us out and spoke over us and said, come to England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, come and claim your inheritance, was part of the prophetic word. So every time we go, it's just powerful what we see God do, because he has a purpose in us and in coming. And so over the years, many, many wonderful testimonies, the salvations, people set free from bondages, and the healings that have manifested. And in fact, even on this trip, one of our first meetings, of course, as our brother was saying, we landed in Dublin, and then from Dublin, we've been over to here, and eventually we'll be back to Ireland again. Towards the end of the trip, we've got conference and church in places we've been ministering all over. But the first place we ministered was actually on the northern part of England, over in the Grimsby area. And we ministered a couple different churches, but I'll just mention one that was in the evening, because it was a group of people that a pastor that has a real heart for the homeless and for the people with serious problems in life. And so the church is located in a place that is a rough area of town, but the people that around that area, maybe the homeless off the streets, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, and that were coming to the meetings as well, made it a really different type of a church. But it was just powerful what we saw. I mean, they told us that their attention span would only be about 20 minutes or so. But we went longer. In fact, no one moved. Everybody's attention was just focused on the word as it's being ministered. It just amazed them. But not only that, it was just the things that we saw, the salvation, wonderful, and also the people set free from bondages. I mean, at least two people from alcohol were set free, to the point that the anointing destroyed the yoke. In 1 second, they want some alcohol. because they're addicted to it. The next second, it's free. Lift their body. Same thing with a man that was with drugs. Praise God. A man on drugs as well. He told me that the kind of drug was like heroin in the sense that it's extremely addictive. And so I normally question people like that. Do you want the drugs now? Other words, many times, like for instance, I've ministered to people with cigarettes. And I questioned a man one time in a meeting when I was in Chicago at this men's group that is a rough group because it's in a part of the downtown area that when you park your car, you wonder if the tires are going to be there when you come back. I mean, it's just like you might be the only white person there maybe because of the different nationalities and there's gangs and the violence. In fact, they called this group that gets together for the Bible study the Knife and Gun Club because... You know what? Some of them are carrying guns and weapons because they're in gangs. In fact, one man couldn't make it to the meeting that morning because they were in jail. And the first man I prayed for, he had 5 bullet holes in him. And he just raised his hand for prayer. But we saw wonderful things happen. In fact, one man that I prayed for in the area of cigarettes, he was the last person I prayed for, and I'm just mentioning him, even though there's many healings and manifestations of healings, of course. But when that first man was set free physically and everybody watched it, then from that point, everybody wanted prayer. It just went from one person to the next. And the last person prayed for was a man that wanted to be free from cigarettes. And this is, there were so many men there, the place was packed out, that took me about 2 hours just to pray for everybody. So by the time I got to the last person there, he wanted to be free from cigarettes, and I said, well, do you want a cigarette? He said, I've been waiting for 2 hours to smoke a cigarette. He's like, yeah, my buddy, he wanted that nicotine, he wanted that cigarette. But you know what, 1 second you want a cigarette, and the next second the life of Christ sets you free to the point that he went, no, it doesn't even want one anymore. After praying him, just a quick prayer, releasing the life of Christ, setting him free from that bondage. We've been seeing wonderful things on this trip, many, many different types of manifestation of healings. And, of course, I can share with you, I can probably just talk for the longest time just on different testimonies. The things we've seen over the years, the people set free from me. Well, I'll just quickly just mention some of the overtop things, the kind of things like people hearing voices healed, bipolar healed. Autism healed, people with Parkinson's shaking all over healed, and just many, many different types of things that like blindness and deafness and, many of the type of symptoms and problems in life that can challenge our heart when it comes to receiving from God, because as Christians, when our problems become more real and more of a reality than the Word of God to us, because there are problems, and we're the ones dealing with the symptoms, and the symptoms aren't small symptoms, but they're major symptoms in our life to the point that that problem is just constantly there. It seems like it has power. It seems like it won't go away. I mean, when you're dealing with those type of severe problems in life that are challenging your heart in that manner, then really what we, as Christians, if we're not careful, what we can end up doing is this. We end up establishing a relationship with the problem, other words, establishing beliefs within our heart, what the Bible calls unbelief, human perspective, human beliefs in relationship to our problem. And when we do that, then we end up becoming part of the problem, that situation. So, praise God, the Word of God is beneficial for our hearts with the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So I've got a lot I can share in different areas, but, before I get started here, I'm going to turn it over to my wife because my wife was born with cerebral palsy, and she has a powerful testimony, the goodness of God in her life. In fact, the doctors told her parents that she wouldn't live to be maybe 16 or maybe 18 at the most, and she's a lot older than that, praise God. But anyway, I'm going to tell you how old I might need marriage counseling. So anyway, but Lisa, why don't you stand up and just share some of your testimony? I mean, she could share for an hour just on her testimony because she's got a wonderful testimony.
Hello, everyone. The Lord is faithful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. As Cecil said, I was born with cerebral palsy. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it originates in the brain. And I was born 6.5 weeks too early, and I died at birth. And so when I died at birth, the damage was done, and I was dead for over 7 minutes. And then they worked on me to revive me, and they were having trouble with my mother. They were trying to save her life, and praise God, she survived. Hallelujah. But then, at 2.5 years old, I was put in a special school for handicapped children. And from the age of 2.5 to almost 11 years old, I went through multiple surgeries, and I was being taught and trained through medical and therapies and things like that. And in this time of my life, my parents were not believers, so we didn't know to believe in God for healing or anything like that. But in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God has a plan. His thoughts towards us are for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. And he had his hand on me even through those years. And so I'm going to fast forward to my teenage years. We had moved from California on the west coast of the United States to Minnesota, which is up in the north. And at this time in my life, I was a teenager, and I was about 16.5. And at this time, my eldest sister was coming for a 2-week visit, and I was all excited, and I had not seen her for about 10 years, and I was all excited, and I was on my crutches, and I was dressed in a pretty little dress, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have a wonderful time with my sister these next 2 weeks, because I grew up with brothers. And I was the only girl in the household during my growing up years because my older sisters were gone and married already before I was about 6 years old. So here I am, and I'm ready for my sister to come through the door because I heard the car drive up. And all of a sudden, the door burst open, and in came my sister, and she took one look at me before I could say hello, and she said, Lisa Marie, before I leave here, you're going to get saved. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to heal your body. And I freaked out because I had no idea what this she was talking about. Who is this woman? And so for 1.5 weeks, she pursued me. I mean, she pursued me all over the house, all over the farm, and she was telling me, you're going to hell for your sins. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell for your sins. But God loves you. And I'm thinking, who is this God? What do you mean he loves me if he's going to send me to hell? And so I resisted my sister for about 1.5 weeks. And the only time I could get away from her was when I went to the bathroom or went to the toilet, I guess is what you call it here. But she was determined that I was going to get saved. Hallelujah. She understood salvation, praise God. And so then about 1 week into this experience with my sister, I began to ask questions. Hallelujah. And so I started asking her about this God. Well, where is this God? And what is his name? And she told me his name was Jehovah. And then one day I asked her, well, where is he? Where does he live? She took me outside, she pointed up into the sky, and she said, he lives up there, and it's called heaven. He lives up in heaven. And she walked away. But praise God, God had a plan, and she was planting seed. And the Word of God says that when the seed is planted, some water and some reap. Hallelujah. And so these seeds were working on me. And one day, I was very upset, and I went into my bedroom, and she had given me a little booklet that said, What If? And I was so upset when she gave it to me that I threw it in the corner, and it sat on the floor for days. But this particular day, I went into my bedroom, sat on the bed, and I got to thinking about everything that she had told me. And all of a sudden, it was, what if she's telling me the truth? What if I'm really going to this place that she described? Because I don't believe in this God, in this Jesus. And I picked up the booklet, and I began to read it. And it was very, very clear on heaven and hell, salvation, God's love. And it was very, very black and white. And that stirred up things in me. And then a few days later, my parents were fighting again. So I thought, I got to get away from my sister. I got to get away from everything. So I left the house on my crutches and went up behind the barn. There was a hill up there and a big tree that I used to go to get away from things. And so that's where I was headed. That's all I was thinking. I got to get away. So I'm coming across the hay field on my crutches. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm alone. My sister's nowhere to bother me. And it was a beautiful day. And I looked up. Hallelujah. I looked up, and when I looked up, I hollered at the top of my lungs, God, if you're real, it's now or never. And in that moment, I knew I was making a decision that if something didn't happen, I would turn away from this God, and I would never turn back. I knew it in my heart. And instantly, the power of God hit me so strongly that my feet flew out from underneath me. My crutches went in both directions, left and right, and I was body slammed to the ground with my arms outstretched, and I could not move. I could barely breathe, and I was face to face with a holy God, and I knew it. And in that instance, I knew that he had every right to kill me. He was holy, and I was very, very unholy. And the next thing that came out of my mouth, I screamed at the top of my lungs, God, please don't kill me. Don't kill me. And then the power of God started washing through my body like a river from head to toe. But I was still pinned to the ground. I couldn't move. And I do not know how long this went on, but within a few moments, I think, I ended up somehow in a sitting position on the ground. And I need to demonstrate. Could you hold this for me? Thank you. I felt around my waist a chain all the way around my waist, and it went down my right leg and pulled on the ground. And I was bound with this chain. And then the next thing I knew, I heard a gunshot. It was like a shotgun going off. Boom! And this chain snapped and clattered to the ground. I didn't see it with my natural eyes, but I heard it and I felt it. And in that moment, I bent forward, and it was like you call it a spout or a faucet? It was like a spout. It turned on, and I wept like I've never wept before. And when it was over, it turned off just like that. And in that moment, and this power was still flowing through my body. And at that moment, my mind cleared up enough for me to think straight, and I knew three things. I was loved by this God, I was forgiven, and I was clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my sister. Hallelujah. And so then in that moment, I heard a voice on the inside of me, and it said, well, at least you could say thank you. And I agreed. In my mind, I agreed. And I opened my mouth to say those two words, thank you. And out came the strangest sounds you'd ever heard. And I kept trying to say thank you. And as my mind began to realize I wasn't speaking English, I began to panic. I began to panic, and I was trying to say thank you, and it just wouldn't come out. All these weird, funny sounds were coming out of my mouth. And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and here comes my sister at a full run across the hayfield. Hallelujah! She was jumping and praising God and just running towards me. And by before she got to me, I began to get hysterical because all I could think of is I lost my ability to speak in English and I can't say thank you. And when she came up to me, it took a split second to realize what was happening. And somehow, with her presence there, I got up to my feet. And she grabbed me by the shoulders and she shook me. And she said, Lisa, it's okay. It's okay. Look at me. It's okay. It's the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues. And I didn't know what she was talking about. But the next thing that happened was I began to say thank you. And I was so excited. I said, oh, I can say thank you. Oh, I can say thank you. And she looked at me and she said, well, stupid, you can speak both. You can say both. You can do both. And that was my salvation experience out on our family farm. Praise the Lord.
Great job.
Thank you, Jesus. How much more time do I have?
It's up to you, hon.
Oh, okay. And so then we're going to fast forward a few years, and now I'm in university. And through those years, from the time I was 6 years old, the doctors were telling my parents I was going to die and prepare for my funeral. So by the time I was a teenager, they were prepared for my funeral and everything. But here I am now. I've graduated high school. I am in university. And I'm going to just shorten this really short for time, but you can get a hold of my testimony later. And in this time, God did a miracle. A healing miracle in my body, even more so, because from the day of my salvation, I began to get stronger and healthier, and 4 months after the day of my salvation, I began to realize I was getting stronger and not weaker. Hallelujah. And I believe the power of the cerebral palsy, the destructiveness of that situation, ceased the moment I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Isn't he faithful? Yes. Hallelujah. Now here I am as a young adult, and I'm in university, and I passed out in class, ended up in the hospital, and went into a full body muscle spasm where it tore the supporting tissues of my lower back. I ended up in traction, and they were going to do a surgery on my spine, and they said that I would be in a cast for a year and a half, from my armpits all the way down to my toes, immobile, and they were just going to do the surgery to try and save my life, because if the vertebrae slid against my spinal cord in the position that they were, it would sever my spinal cord and kill me instantly, or I would be paralyzed for life. I would be a vegetable. So this is where I was. And God had a plan. And through many, many circumstances, he began to work in this situation. I had a brother in Bible college who was praying for me. The Bible college was praying for me, for my healing. And he was calling me and encouraging me with scriptures every few days during this time. And I was sent home to my mother's home. And then I had an older brother that was getting married around Christmas. And the doctor said I couldn't go to the wedding. But my brother in Bible school had a vision and a dream, and he called me one day and he said, Lisa, I've had a vision and a dream, and it's about you. And I didn't know what a vision and a dream was. And this is what he said. God is going to heal you at the wedding, and then you're going to go to a Bible school for 1 year, and then he's going to send you, to a foreign country, and you will testify for him. And my response was, have fun with your dreams and visions. Bye. Because I didn't understand, but God is faithful, amen? And so he called me back a few days later, and he says, but when God speaks, it will come to pass. And a few weeks later, I got a phone call from my older brother, and his company that he worked for was an airline, and somehow they heard about me, And they told my brother that they wanted to give him a special wedding present. And they wanted to pay for everything to transport me to his wedding. And that meant an airplane flight with medical personnel. And he said, would you like to come to my wedding? Would I like to come to your wedding? Yes. And then when the doctor found out about this, he threatened me and said, I will get a court order. If you go to that wedding, you cannot travel, you will die. So I didn't tell him anymore. And I had a younger brother who was helping me get ready for the wedding. And he was coming home from school and helping me every day. But before I was ready to go to the wedding, I had been in traction, immobile. And one day, I was laying in bed and I said, Lord, I've been here before. I've been in the wheelchair. I've been in the hospitals. I've done this before. And I'm not doing this anymore. I'm either going to die and come home and be with you, or I'm going to walk again. I made a decision. And I realized that I had to get out of the traction if I was going to walk again. And I convinced my aunt to help me one day. And she released the pressure of the traction off of my spine. And I wasn't prepared for the pain. And it shot me through the roof and I almost passed out. But I heard that voice again, and it said, if you stop now, you will never walk. And I just grit my teeth, and I was determined because I knew that if I could touch the ground with my toes, the floor with my toes, on my right foot, where I could feel it, I would walk again. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I would walk again. So my aunt helped me, and we got me to a standing position for a split second. When I fell back on the bed, it was like an explosion of power that came from here, and it went up through the top of my body and shot out of the top of my head. And when that happened, it was joy and power all at the same time. And I just knew that I would walk again. Now fast forward to my little brother, and we're getting ready for the wedding and the plane flight. And so we had plane trouble and had to go back and get another plane. So when we went to O'Hare in Chicago, I'd missed my connection with the medical team that was supposed to be there, and the medical team that brought me to Chicago, their job was done. So I was left alone at the airport with the airport personnel. And through a few other circumstances, these two men came up to me, and the tall man said, the great and merciful Father God has sent us. And they took care of me, put me on the plane, and got me to my brother's place in Kansas. And then at the dinner, I was sitting in a chair, propped up with pillows, and in came a minister and his wife, and they were not dressed for the wedding. And he came up to me and he said, so you're the woman that destroyed my Christmas vacation in Canada. And he was very angry. And I said, who are you? And he said, the Lord has sent me to pray for you. And so he said, can I go around behind you? And I said, yes. And he disappeared behind me. And then the next thing I knew was all of a sudden, I felt somebody grab me by my hair right here and pull it by the roots. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to get him. And so I raised up my left hand to knock his hand off my head, and there was nothing there. It happened two more times. And the third time, I came up to knock his hand off of my head. And when my hand touched here, it was like hot oil started. And it flowed, it shot down my back, spread through that area where it was damaged, down my legs and out the bottom of my feet. And before I could say anything, this man came around, grabbed my hand and said, rise up and walk. And I was instantly standing. And I looked across that big room with all these people ready to celebrate my brother's marriage, and I was looking for my mother, and I saw the back of her head, and I started moving towards her, and I started taking baby steps across that room. And the commotion and the clatter must have got her attention, because she turned around, looked up into my face. I looked down into her eyes, and I said, "Mama, I can walk." And she fainted. And my brothers caught her before she hit the floor. And that's how God healed my body. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
And I went home with no problems. The flight was fine. And now we're going to fast forward. Here I am in Bible school. Praise God. I've completed my first year. And I'm invited by the staff to go on a missions trip to the country of Jamaica. We come off the plane, and the presence of God touched me, and I went down on my knees outside the airport, and I heard the voice of the Lord, and it said, "I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Go and testify of me." And it was the exact day that I was supposed to be cut out of that body cast with no guarantee of ever walking again. And through the years, and here we are today, my husband and I, between the two of us, have been in 34 nations. Isn't God faithful? Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, she just shared some of the testimony with you, but she could probably talk for at least an hour just giving all the details of from the beginning of when she grew up with a stepfather that said, "None of my kids will ever step foot in a church." And she'd never read a Bible. I mean, I'm a PK kid. My father was a pastor, but my wife basically grew up heathen. I mean, she didn't know the Word of God, but her salvation experience was awesome. God made himself so real to her heart because the manifested power and presence of God that she experienced. And that was just the beginning of her relationship. And then the other things he has accomplished. You know, when you hear these type of the testimonies of what God is doing by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're wonderful testimonies. And our Heavenly Father loves us, and the Lord, he's our healer, and he manifests himself sometimes in unique ways in our life. Our unique testimonies, but I'm going to share something with you. You know, as a minister, that's not the place of consistency when it comes to receiving from God. It's wonderful. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10, you see gifts of healing, you see working of miracles. That's the area of the gifts, and the gifts are wonderful. You know, the body of Christ, we need the area of the gifts for the benefit of God manifesting himself into our lives for many different reasons. And the gifts are good. Signs and wonders follow the teaching of the Word of God, because the Lord is, he's reinforcing truth that comes by his Spirit. And as our brother said earlier, you know what, it's the Lord that speaks through us. I've had that happen many times where I would say things, and I would be saying the words, But like a lady one time I ministered to with Parkinson's, where she was just shaking all over. I sent her over the corner of the room because, you see, I had got her healed from Parkinson's, and she was out in the parking lot all excited, running and jumping, doing things she couldn't do before because she couldn't walk on her own. She couldn't drive a car, but she could. A year later, I came back to that church. She had lost her healing. And, you know, I didn't know why. The pastor gave me insight later, but I did receive things by the Spirit because, you see, but, you know, when I went to minister to her again, got her free again. But this time, her left arm was still shaking. And when it got to that arm that was still shaking, the rest of her body was free. When it got to that point, I stopped. I just said, "This last part is for you." And this was Jesus speaking through me, because I didn't premeditate that in my mind. I just said, I looked over a corner of the room way over there. There was nobody over there. I said, "I want you to go over the corner of the room and do this. I want you to speak with authority to your body, because it's important for you to know that when you speak the word of God and speak with authority like Jesus did and the disciples did, that power is released. It'll benefit your heart to know that when you pray, what will happen." And I told that lady that, and she said, "Well, okay." So for the rest of the manifestation, she went over to the corner of the room. I continued in the altar call praying for people. And in no time, this lady's walking right back over here. Her arm is still shaking. She cuts in line in the altar call so that she's the next person. I get up to her to pray for her next. And she tells me, she said, "Well, I went over there and I said, 'Jesus, heal me.'" Is that what I told her to do? No, but you see, you'll discover as Christians that until the Word of God is established in our heart with the help of the Holy Spirit to where it's understanding to our heart, more than just something we're hearing, more than just intellectual information, as soon as the Holy Spirit begins, as Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, and the light begins to turn on as we're receiving revelation truth, or just something we're reading, just information and knowledge, suddenly it's like, wow, I can see it in a way I never saw it before. As soon as that truth is becoming understanding to our heart, then there's always wisdom. There's a practical application of that truth. All of a sudden, we just don't choose to believe something. Now we're receiving truth that we can live. We can live that truth. It becomes a way of life in Christ for us because the Word of God changes our heart with the help of the Holy Spirit to where it's just not our intellectual information, something we memorize alone by itself. But you see, the reason that lady came back to talk to me quickly was this. The Lord spoke to her. And she was all excited because she actually heard Jesus speak to her. And she was excited. She wanted to come back and tell me what he said. She said, "I went over there and I said, 'Jesus, heal me.' And the Lord spoke to me." And this is what he said. He said, "I told you to do it." That's all he said. He said, "I told you to do it." Now think about that for a second. He didn't say, because I was the one that said those words in the altar call, I was the one that said, I stopped and I want you to go over there and I said, "This is going to help you to keep your healing. Know that when you pray, what can happen?" And you know, I'm the one that said that, but you know what? Jesus, when he spoke to her, Jesus didn't say, "My servant Cecil," or for y'all proper British, "My servant Cecil said, go over and do such and such." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "I told you to do it." Because you know what? I didn't premeditate that. In other words, I didn't look at that lady and say, "Okay, you lost your healing. I'm going to leave your toes shaking. This will teach you." That wasn't even in my mind. I wasn't even thinking those kind of thoughts. No, I just stopped. And it just flew out of my mouth. It's the same thing as our prayer language. It's the same thing as praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. When we pray with our prayer language, see, Acts 2:4 says, they begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, which means from the original language, the Holy Spirit inspires the words in which we're speaking, but we're saying the words. But the Spirit of God is involved in the utterance. He's involved in the words in which we're saying. This is what really messes with many Christians' heads when it comes to our prayer language, because they think they're the one doing it because they're saying the words. But you forget, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Your body is it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's salvation. God's presence is within you. If you live life like an unbeliever in relationship to life, then in your heart, even though you've got the presence of God in your spirit, your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, man, if you're not careful, you can be carnally minded. You can live life with your thoughts and thinking and reasoning just like unbelievers do. Just like God's in heaven. He's not here with me. But no, his presence is within you. When there's the awareness and the realization of that, then you know what? You step out in your prayer language, and the moment you do, you may be speaking the words, but it's transrational. It's not like your normal language you speak, which normally in this country, of course, would be proper British English. But when you speak English, you use your rational mind. You think first, then you say words. But when you speak in your prayer language, now you didn't sit there and think those words. I didn't sit there and think ooga aga and start speaking. I just spoke. It's transrational. It bypasses the natural mind. It's the same thing when Jesus, by the Spirit of the Lord, is speaking through us. It's our mouth, our lips, our tongue, and we're saying the words. But you know what? It's Jesus speaking through us because it's just coming by the Spirit. I've had the Holy Spirit, when I minister a message, tell me everything one time. I remember it was years or years ago. But I would hear him say it, then I would repeat it. You can't have a human do that and stand next to you and say something. You repeat it. It would be so broken up, people would lose concentration. But when the Holy Spirit's doing it, it just flows. I tell you, it's Jesus that speaks through me, through us. And you need to be aware of that. In other words, when it's by the Spirit, when He is doing that. But you see, that lady, that was wonderful. The pastor told me later at lunch, he told me what the issues were, because you see, both the husband and the wife are new Christians. He had been helping them with all their major issues. And this couple, you know, they had major relational issues and problems in life to the point that, they just had all this drama, all these problems, and they didn't grow up in a really healthy, loving family. They had all kinds of problems in life. He had helped them for at least 2 years before I came into the situation, but he told me this. He said that this woman, after that first manifestation of healing, this woman went home and at some point in time called her sister. And she just had a terrible relationship with her sister, because on the phone she told her sister, and she thought her sister would be blessed, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And her sister, because of all the issues in her heart, out of her mouth, she said this, "No, you're not." And she wasn't even physically there in her presence. But all that critical judgmentalness and jealousies and all the issues of life came out of her at that time with the choice of her words. But do you know that her sister's words influenced and affected her heart? Do you know her sister's words became more real and more of a reality than the Word of God? Because they're young Christians and they haven't come to the place of putting the Word of God at a place of prominence within their heart, to the place that, no, if man has an opinion, it's man's opinion. It's not the same level as God's Word. God's Word is at a place of prominence. If man has an opinion that's contrary to the truth of God's Word, that's just that person's opinion. You can love the person, but place no value on their words, place no significance on the words, but love the person. Because if what they're saying doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's their opinion, and that's just a human's opinion. That is not God's opinion. That is not God's perspective. That's a human perspective. And so you can just simply devalue that. But that woman didn't. Instead, her sister's words, she couldn't get them out of her mind, because you see, she was needing validation, self-worth from her sister. She was needing something from her that she should have been getting from Jesus. I tell you, as Christians, we should establish our self-worth in Jesus and the value that God has for us, because He gave us Jesus, and Jesus is the greatest gift He's ever given mankind. It just doesn't get any better than Jesus. Man, it's a gift of love. I tell you, God has proven His love towards us through Jesus Christ, and the greatest gift He could have given mankind, His Son. I tell you, He showed us exactly who He is, as 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. He doesn't just have love, that's who He is. Man, that's His true nature and character. What motivates Him is love and all the things He does for us, like those wonderful testimonies, like that lady. But you see, by that lady going over there, and in fact, let me just tell you what happened. She began to dwell on her sister's words to the point that some of the problem began to come back, because you see, as Christians, you have a free will. God did something for you that bypassed your heart in the area of the gifts. That woman didn't receive healing by herself through the Word of God working in her heart. She received a manifestation of healing through a minister praying for her. Someone else whose faith was dominant, who the Word of God was dominant in their heart in this situation. And so that person helped her. It was Jesus working through that person, is what I'm saying. And in that context of that happening, Jesus did something for her. She didn't receive it based upon the understanding of her heart, because in the Bible you can. I mean, there's examples of people that Jesus talked to because of their unbelief. In fact, even the two blind men in Matthew 9:27, when they came to Him there in Peter's house, and they had followed Him all the way from Jairus' house, from raising his little girl from the dead, but Jesus ignored them in the crowd. He didn't ignore the blind men in Jericho. He stopped everything for that man. But instead, these two men, He let them follow Him all the way to Peter's house. In fact, they're blind, and they had to get into the house and get to Jesus. He didn't make it easy for them. I say, you can see a person's heart, the determination on the inside, when something's real, when you really believe, because it's like there's a determination on the inside when you believe God's Word, because something's real to you. Something's not just something you intellectually choose to believe, but you're having difficulty in how you believe in your heart. You're wavering back and forth, as the book of James says, being double-minded in chapter 1. No, you know, a double-minded person Basically, the scripture says it's unstable in all of those ways, all of his ways. But you see, that double-minded from the Greek language means this. You're twice-hearted. You've got two different ways of believing, and the truth in God's Word has not yet truly solidified with the help of the Holy Spirit to the point that you see it God's way. You still have a hold of a human perspective, the way we've lived all of our life on this planet in this physical flesh suit, and how our issues of life have influenced our heart on what truth is to us. You see, that's any belief that is not founded in Christ is unbelief. And it doesn't make us a bad person. Because we're righteous in Christ. Our righteousness is in our spirit. It's just a problem in our body, and it's our human perspective. We're still in the family. God still loves us. He doesn't reject us. But you see, unbelief just simply limits Jesus. Because we're choosing ourselves over him. It's our belief. It's the way we see it. I tell you, we need the help of the Holy Spirit with God's Word opening up for the benefit of our heart so that our heart changes, so that in the area of our beliefs, we're a different person. I tell you that the Holy Spirit can open up God's Word to the point that the truth of the Word of God, you end up actually taking on the identity of that truth. You actually become that truth to the point that when people look at you, when they listen to you, in your body language, the tone of your voice, how you live life, how you relate to the challenges of life, they can see Jesus. They can see an image of Jesus. They can see you're different. They can see you free of anxiety. They can see the fact that you're choosing God's way because the first thing that comes out of your mouth, first thing you do, you're walking in peace. You're actually trusting God. In fact, the way you're believing, they can see Jesus. They can see that you relate differently to the challenges of life when there's a difference between, you know what, the way they live life as an unbeliever and Jesus, who has changed your life and his ways become established in your heart to the point that you don't just choose to believe it, you live it. I tell you, in the area of the physical, in the area of relationship problems, in the area of the financial, I tell you, the Word of God has all of our needs have been met in Christ Jesus, which means we need understanding in all three of those areas for the benefit of our heart, for those areas of life. Our heart needs understanding so that we relate differently than unbelievers do. I tell you, there's a lot of truth in God's Word, and it's going to take you more than one day to get it all. You figured that out. Very good. Bye. Change takes time because, you know what, we're all in different places in understanding of the Word of God and the process of change that comes with the Holy Spirit. This is the value and the benefit of God's Word. You've got to know the value and the benefit in order for you to be willing to pay the price to allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to be willing to change. You've got to see that change is good. Change in Christ is good. And you have to see the benefit of it, because if you don't see the benefit of it, then in your heart, you'll just continually do things your way because you've always done it that way. And maybe you'll still come to church. Maybe you still, you know, sit under the teaching of the Word. But I tell you, until you take the truth as an example, your pastor's ministering. Until you take that truth and you go meditate on it, you go study it throughout the week, you spend time, different times, going right back to that same truth. Until you do that and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, it really doesn't become yours yet. It only becomes yours when God shows it to you. When suddenly, it's not just something you choose to believe, it's something you can live. You get results. I tell you, when you get God's results, it'll give your heart confidence. I tell you, that lady, you see, she began to dwell in her. Let me tell you something. This lady was free from Parkinson's, shaking all over. But you know the thoughts in her mind because of what her sister said? She couldn't get over her sister's words. You know what she started doing? She started thinking that, well, maybe I'm not healed. Isn't that weird? But no, that's kind of normal for a person who has been through so much bad in life. That bad is more real than good because it just seems like bad happens all the time. And she wants good, but it just seems like bad happens all the time. Good doesn't happen all the time. According to her perspective, it just seems like bad happens so easy. In fact, bad has such an effect upon her heart that it's like it devastates her. It's like it can get her attention quicker than good can. I tell you, as Christians, we need to identify with the goodness of God. In other words, Galatians 3:13, all of the bad, the curse was bad, every kind of bad thing you can think of, that's the curse. Jesus took the curse. He took the bad. He gave us good. Now, you may choose to believe that, but do you live that? Does that truth as an example determine the way you relate to life? Have you taken the time to establish that truth of the goodness of God within your heart to the point that in life, every time you see good, you identify with good? It's like, yeah, Jesus gave that to me. That's mine. In other words, you can identify with it. You don't look at good and go, I sure wished I had it. Oh, Lord, when are you going to give it to me? And you relate in a way where you don't have something. You see, you got to realize God's not a human. And because God, and I talk about this, and I've got my book back there, and in fact, here, I'll just show you, How to Receive Healing from God. And this is 10 hours of teaching, and the pastor only gave me 9 hours today, so I can't do it all. I'm just kidding, but anyway. But you see, there's a lot of teaching in that book to give you these insights on receiving from God, because most Christians don't fully understand receiving from God, that receiving from God is actually not about us. A lot of Christians make receiving from God about them because of their problems. But actually, receiving from God is about Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the one that went to the cross, not us. God made a covenant with the Son, and we entered in through Christ. I tell you, receiving is the way it was given. But most Christians approach God because they've got a problem. And all of us can go, well, of course we do that. Of course we go for prayer because we've got a problem and we want it to go. But I'm telling you, in your heart and how you believe it, that's, if you make receiving about yourself instead of Jesus, you're going to see inconsistency. You're going to make it difficult to receive from God because your focus isn't on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Your faith is about Him. That word looking for the Greek language means you're 100% looking away from something. And if it's you, you're looking away from yourself. But who are you looking at? Yes. So if your full focus is on Him and the Word of God, and your full focus is on who you are in Him, and you're receiving from God because of who you are in Christ, your position in Him, and you come to understand, and you begin the process of establishing truth in your heart in Him to the point that you begin to identify with that truth, to the point that you take on the identity of it, to the point that you relate to life differently now. And you stay with that process in that area of life, in the area with the greatest need, until your heart completely changes to the point that there's so much understanding. You know, just a little bit of understanding. You want the whole picture. You want the whole counsel of the Word of God in that area. You want such fullness of understanding to the point that, my, you're getting results in so many different ways and areas of life. In the area of the physical is an example. Like we're talking about healing today. My, this lady, her sister's words became more real, more of a reality than the Word of God to her. And for that reason, her sister, you know what? Words were prominent. She kept going. I mean, think about it. She's free from the problem, but instead of realizing the freedom that's on the inside of the problem, instead of realizing that, you know what? She began to think, well, maybe I'm not healed, even though she's physically free. And she began to think, you know, it's just the same way Christians can lose. You know, let me say it this way. You don't lose your healing by accident. You lose your healing on purpose. You give it away through unbelief because you choose something other than Jesus. You choose to find truth in your problems instead of finding truth in Jesus Christ. You find truth in your problems where you're looking at the problem to find out what truth is to your heart. You're looking at your physical body and you'll think all kinds of thoughts. Who knows? Maybe she thought thoughts like this. Well, maybe it won't last. Or, you know, she got just a little bit of the shaking come back. Not all that she had before, just a little. But that's all it took. And as soon as that happened, fear hit her heart. Fear is an expectation of bad from the Hebrew language. In other words, you may want good, but it just seems like bad comes quicker than good. It just seems like you expect it, in other words, even though you don't want it. That's what fear is in the human heart and how it hinders us in our relationship to life. But you see, this lady turned to her husband. Pray for me, pray for me. He didn't know how to pray for her. He's just a baby Christian. He doesn't understand the area of prayer yet. He hasn't sat under the teaching of the Word of God to the point that his heart has changed and he's got confidence to release the life of Christ in the area of prayer. And even though he's got the life of Christ dwelling on the inside of him, he lacked confidence. He couldn't help his wife and she got angry at him. And then it just got worse and all the shaking came back. Then I came into the situation and ministered to her the way that I did. My, that's good, brother. Thank you. I asked him to take some pictures because my office says that I never get enough pictures. Well, I think he got me enough. I don't think they'll ever run out. It's like, Praise God. Bye. But you see, you did, brother. You really did. You probably do God the same way. Man, praise God. But you see, this lady, I ministered to her in a way that if she'd been obedient, it would have benefited her heart. Even Jesus told her, I told you to do it. But you see, when we're codependent, we always want someone else to do something for us, instead of the Word of God being the foundation for receiving. I tell you, you can come up in an altar call when it comes to the area of prayer, and instead of looking at the person that's praying, you can put your focus on Jesus working through them. You can realize, Jesus, you're my healer. Lord, you're my healer. And in your heart, you can prepare your heart to receive the manifestation of healing by very specifically believing in your heart. Now, when the life of Christ is released, this is what's going to happen. This is how my body's going to change. This is what's going to happen. And you can be believing that in your heart to the point that when someone prays for you, they can go, wow, you're easy to pray for, because you're not passive. You're not the kind of person who needs someone to do something for you. You know who you're receiving from. You've got a personal relationship with Jesus. You know it's Jesus that's working through that person, and you don't make it about the person doing something for you like humans who don't know Jesus do, like unbelievers, in other words. An unbeliever always needs someone to do something for them. In fact, I'll just say this, and I talk about this in my book on receiving healing from God, but you see, receiving help in a physical area of life from a human, as an example, like a doctor. If it's a doctor that's helping you, then this is the way it works. You're not free until the problem's gone. That's the way it's supposed to work in this natural realm we live in. Until that doctor is successful at whatever they're doing, whatever the problem is, whatever the methods are, whatever they do, until it's completely gone, the problem's out of your body, whether it's an operation, medicine, no matter what the problem, no matter what the methods are, as soon as the problem leaves your body, and maybe they can do blood work, maybe your symptoms are gone so you know it, maybe there's x-rays or something, who knows? But the fact is this, once the problem's gone, you're healed. That's the way it works when a human helps you. That is not the way it works when God helps you. It's just the opposite. When you receive from God, no, you're first healed, then the problem goes. Now that'll mess with your head. It's like, huh? It's like, we're not used to thinking that way. In fact, we're not used to relating to our human body like that. We're used to relating to our human body the same way an unbeliever would, because we've been doing that all of our life, ever since we've been little kids. If you got a problem, maybe you get a little cut in the finger, and when you're a little kid, you go to mom, and mom kisses it and makes it better. In other words, whatever she does, when the pain goes, then you feel better. And immediately you begin to learn that the problem's there until the problem goes. And our heart's trained to think that way and relate to life like that until Jesus. I tell you, until you come to understand your identity in Christ and how the Father heals us. And God is not a human. God is a spirit. And because he's a spirit, you receive something that was given to you at the cross through Jesus Christ, which means that it's our time on this planet now. And receiving is about Jesus, which means this. The problem, if you look at foundational truth in God's Word, Matthew 8, 17, Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, you know, all these different truths, you know, 1 Peter 2, 24, all these different areas of foundational truths in the Scriptures concerning healing, you begin to look at all the foundational truths concerning healing, and you want the foundation established correctly, because if from God's Word for many areas of life, you need to build upon the foundation, because you see the same, as one example, the same anointing that can heal you physically, Jesus, he can heal your heart. He can take away the hurt and the pain. But the foundation is Jesus. The foundation, well, let's take a look at Matthew 8, 17 as an example. Jesus, spoken to Elias, the prophet of old, he himself took our infirmities, bore our sickness. Okay, he bore it, he took it. Now, if he took it and he bore it, do you believe that? That he did that for you? He physically died so that today, by the Spirit of God, he could give you something that belongs to you, something that's rightfully yours, something he paid the price. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam has been restored. But you see, if he took it and he bore it, is it your problem or his problem? If it's in your body, what if you're responsible for the problem being there? What if you didn't take care of yourself correctly and a problem came because you didn't perform well and you didn't really take care of yourself properly, and so here's a physical problem? Is it his problem or your problem? Some of you answering, some of you is like, this is a trick question. I'm not saying anything. It's like, I know. It's like, look, I'll just answer and say this, that, you know what? Truth is always found in the Word of God. And you go back to what the Word says in truth. Now, this is truth. The problem belongs to him. It doesn't matter why the problem is there. It's if you're going to receive from God, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about the cross. He took it. He bore it. The Father put it upon him. He took it and he bore it. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. So within your heart, though, do you relate differently to the problems in your body? Do you see them as yours? In other words, when you come for prayer, do you have a need? When you come from prayer, are you needy? When you come from prayer, then do you need something? Well, Philippians 4:19 tells us that all of our needs are met in Christ Jesus. So if all of our needs are met in him, do you see yourself with a problem needing to be free, or does the problem belong to Jesus? Because you see, getting help from a doctor, you're not free until the problem's gone. But with God, the second the life of Christ is released into your human body, that physical problem or problems immediately begin the process of leaving your body. You begin to heal. And when you heal, and it's Jesus healing you, the reason you're healing is because you're healed. You're not healing until you're healed. That's when a human helps you. When it's the life of Christ setting you free and not a human doing it, but Jesus healing you, his presence, his life setting you free, then physical problems lose their ability to stay in the human body. Just like people from cancer. I mean, even on this trip, I mean, people I prayed for in that area, and even one man that came up to me, and on this trip, just while I was in Greensby at the church that morning, he had diabetes, and his foot, one of his feet was in this big kind of a cushion thing. And if anybody touched it, because he told me later that his wife accidentally hit it or something, man, he went through the roof with the pain. It hurt, just the pain, because of the problems he was experiencing with the problem. But he told me after the healing, he told me last year I prayed for him, he had cancer. I tell you, when you release the life of Christ into a person's physical body, and I'll use cancer as an example, because when the life of Christ is released in the area to kill cancer, cancer dies at the root. Cancer loses its ability to stay in life and live and stay in the human body. The reason cancer grows is because it's sucking life from the person. It's evil. It hurts people. It's evil. It grows because it's pulling life from within the person's own body. That's evil. And I tell you, the life of Christ kills it. You got to hate what God hates. You got to love what he loves. But you love the person, but you hate that evil. And in prayer, you kill it with the life of Christ, releasing it right in that human body, because it loses its ability to grow and it dies at the root. It cannot sustain life. This is why you're healed. You're healed. This is why when you're healing, you're healed, because it died at the root. Are you understanding my words? This is Jesus healing. If you don't have God's perspective when it comes to receiving a manifestation of healing, the danger is this. You will empower the problem within your heart and how you believe, because you have a free will to believe anything you want to. God doesn't relate to us through manipulation and control. He's love. And this is why it's so important to get an understanding of the Word of God and his ways. I'm going to tell you something. There's a way of life in Christ. Even Paul the Apostle, when he said his disciple Timothy, he said, teach them my ways of life in Christ. There's a way of living life in Christ Jesus. You need to learn his ways. And that's a process that takes time. Boy, I've been ministering this area for over 30 years. I didn't get this understanding overnight. But constantly helping people, constantly praying for people, constantly. And I remember as a young minister experiencing failure. Oh, I saw wonderful things happen to people not healed. But I remember the first time I came into a meeting where every single person was healed. And in fact, it was over here. The first one was in Wells. And I can remember going back and talking to Andrew in his ministry building something like 20-something years ago. And I said, Andrew, I said, I had two different meetings where every single person was healed. And in that Texas accent, he said, must have been a small meeting, brother. Because sometimes you don't see that kind of consistency. But you're right, I've seen it in the U.S. as well, and larger meetings than that. It was only like 40 or maybe in the altar call. Maybe the church was 40 or 50 people, and the altar call maybe 20 or so people. But you know what? Seeing every single person physically change, I tell you, my heart has changed as a minister to the point that I stopped limiting Jesus. But at the same time, I had people there having a difficult time to receive. Like a little lady with macular degeneration. She'd lost sight in one eye. She's about to lose sight in another eye. And when I got to her, it was like hitting a wall. I was seeing young people healed, middle-aged people healed. But when I got to her, it was like, it's like, God, where'd you go? He didn't go anywhere. It's the heart of the person that I'm ministering to. Because you see, by the time I finally got to her, three-quarters of the way down the altar call, you see, she came up there for prayer because she wants something. I want to tell you something. There's a difference between what you want and what you believe. A lot of Christians want good, but they just have trouble believing good. Good's not really real to their heart. The problems are reality and real to their heart. They're finding truth in their problems. They're not finding truth in Jesus Christ. And they're limiting Jesus because out of their will, they're making choices. They're making decisions. And God has so much to give them. Sometimes God does something to bypass their heart because he loves us, just like we bless our kids. But your own heart's going to determine how you live life because he doesn't force his will upon you. You have free choices, you know, to choose. I encourage you to choose Jesus over yourself. Because unbelief is when we exalt our beliefs against his word. He still loves us. We're still his children. We're still in the family. It's just the condition of our heart, that's all, and how we're believing. He doesn't change towards us. In fact, if you're going to resolve any issue of unbelief in your heart, Romans 8:1, you can't afford to have any shame, any guilt, any condemnation. You can't afford to feel bad about yourself. You need to train your heart and establish your heart to the point that you refuse to feel bad about anything. Because if you do, you'll take your eyes off of Jesus. You'll put your thoughts towards yourself. You won't put your thoughts and focus and eyes towards him. You'll put your focus on you. You'll feel unworthy to receive from him. You'll judge yourself instead of your heart being established in your identity in Christ and your righteousness in him, you'll see yourself according to your own performance, and you'll limit Jesus in your life by doing that because you'll choose yourself over Jesus. I tell you, every single one of us with our problems and circumstances of life need to go to Jesus. We need Jesus. We need life in him, not life in living for him. We need to find our life in him and going to him. But receiving is from God, our Heavenly Father, is about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's for us. My. You know what? I can talk longer than you listen. I've just got more to say than I've got time to say it. And I've said a lot just for your hearts to consider and ponder. I just encourage you to get the teaching and invest in your life spiritually for the benefit of your heart and take your time. Go back over things. Because in the areas that God is speaking to you and truth is opening up to you, labor the longest in that amount of time because it's like it's coming alive. It's coming alive on the inside. And that's the area that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you first because that's the greatest area. Because let me say it this way. The Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. The Holy Spirit knows what to take from the Father and knows exactly the truth from God's word that's beneficial for our heart. The first thing we need to hear, in other words, then he knows the next. He knows his job better than we do. You need to trust him. You need to establish a relationship with the Holy Spirit to the point that you value his voice. You put his voice at a place of prominence over your voice. You humble your heart when he's speaking, and you're not quick to rush to judgment with your own human perspective. Instead, if he's speaking in an area that is really tender, that you humble your heart because he wants to help you. Everything he's going to do is good. He's not there to hurt you. He's there to help you, and it's good. You need to come to the place that it's like, thank you, boy. That there's got to be something there, and you stay with it until the fullness of that truth opens up to you, until suddenly, with his help, you've got God's perspective. You don't do it on your own. You don't fix yourself on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, I'm going to encourage you today as we open it up for a time of prayer and time of personal ministry that when you come forward, if you're here today and you haven't, if number one, you haven't established a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then I'm going to encourage you that that's number one. That's more important than anything because that determines eternity for you. That determines your future. And let me tell you, when you get to heaven, you will love it. You'll be so glad you made that decision. You won't regret it at all. It's this planet that's temporary. The next life is forever. And we live forever anyway, just not on this planet. This life is temporary. If you're here today for personal ministry and maybe some things in life, Some of the bad I've been talking about has hurt you. Let me encourage you that the life of Christ can heal your heart and take away the pain and the hurt to the point that there's grace, enabling the ability of the Holy Spirit released to the point that He can help you, to the point that it's easier now for God's Word to open up, which where before it was difficult, but now it gets easier. If you're here today for physical manifestation of healing, then I encourage you, if you need to take a few minutes to prepare your heart before you come up, there's not a thing wrong with that, to help get your focus on Jesus and put your thoughts towards Him so that when you come forward, this is what I'm believing. This is not just what I want. This is what I'm believing is going to physically change. And Lord, You're my healer. And you come to have an encounter with Him, to receive from Him instead of receiving from a human. I encourage you to prepare your heart this day, just in that manner. Praise God. Did you need to come up, brother?
Amen. We'll put some, just a little bit of music on just to help focus, but it'd be good for us, yes, to think of the Word of God, to think, prepare our hearts. This isn't a spectator sport. If it's, there's tea and coffee through there is what I'm saying. But I think God's wanting to touch every one of us, everybody. I've just had something. I sat there. I'm not sick trying to get healed. I'm healed and the world's trying to make me sick. But it's just, as I've been thinking, sat there. It's already done. We've got to walk it. So these guys are ready. They're going to pray for you. But like I said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus first. Amen. So we're going to put some quiet music on, and you guys just come forward, and when you're ready, you guys just...